And I think we may have a couple of questions from some viewers, probably all of our three viewers, maybe.
I was going to say, it's exciting we have regular viewers.
How's it going?
How many followers do you think we're up to?
I don't know.
10? Fit double figures?
Probably.
That's exciting.
I'd say double figures for sure. We're not that bad, are we?
No. I like to think we're okay.
I think we're okay. Hi guys, and welcome to another episode of A Beer with the Brewer. Here he is, Matty himself. How are you, buddy?
Super, mate. Absolutely super.
How's your day?
Pretty good today.
Yeah? Nice.
Been ripping out a few kegs.
Looking a bit fresh, actually.
Yeah.
Probably haven't been on the canning line then.
No canning this week. It's the best I've felt for a while.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely see when you've canned, your face kind of just droops.
That's my soul leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, lucky we've got a fresh sour out.
We do.
Just to revamp the soul itself. The fruity frost. You probably understand where that come from, but it is a reincarnation of our 2020 Frosty Fruit. So
based on a favorite icy pole.
And in this beautiful Queensland autumn, it's a perfect drink.
Oh, it's a pretty sultry today.
It is. You still got that, don't have that as much humidity, but you still got that heat from the sun when you're standing out in it. There we go.
Look at that. Beautiful. Cheers, mate.
Nice foam on that.
It has got good foam. Good brewer's boy you've done that.
Ah, you know me. All I need is now is a flanno. And we're done. Sign me up. All right. So as you can see, it is part of our sour series with those lips on there and some beautiful artwork there by Virg. A shout out to him again. Thank you very much for that one. So yeah, bringing an old classic back, based upon our kind of sour series of turning nostalgic flavors into types of beers that people can understand a little bit better, especially in a sour format, as a lot of people are kind of slightly standoffish if they haven't drank these before. So it's a nice, easy entry to drinking some lovely beers. Back in 2020, when did we do that? End of 2020, was it? December? Was it our Christmas beer?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And it went phenomenal, didn't it?
Went gangbusters.
Gangbusters.
Lots of requests to bring it back, so here it is.
And basically, the last 2 years have just mulled into basically a month.
Yeah, it feels like that, doesn't it?
Definitely feels like that, looking at this going back to 2020. But we have brought it back after popular demand. So here it is, the new and improved Fruity Frost.
So pretty much like the Icy Pearl, passion fruit, orange and pineapple. The Icy Pearl itself, if you do eat them, is a little bit tart.
Yeah.
I'd say from some of the acidity in the fruit.
The zinginess.
So I think it lends itself pretty well to the beer, or making a beer out of it. So to me, it's got the that nice sort of tropical fruity flavour.
Yep.
And then the nice refreshing tartness. So it's really well balanced.
Very good combination of fruit styles.
A bit too easy to
there.
Drink.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember knocking back a couple in my pool a couple of years ago when we first released this.
Definitely on the cusp of Christmas kind of weather.
Yeah, very, I think it came out just for Christmas, so it's perfect.
Hot and sultry there, perfect cool drinking beer.
A little bit later in the year this time, but still.
Still, we've got a bit of heat around here in Queensland, so great beer to drink all year round because we've only got about 2 weeks worth of cold weather up here.
Yeah, so we're about to release.
Based upon a Victorian.
A year's worth of dark beers in 2 weeks.
So get on them. So, Matty, this one, same process as always, same base beer.
Yeah, so the base, souring. The process is, depending whether it's a Berliner Weiss or a Gosa, is almost the same, pretty close.
Yep.
We make some that are 3.5 and then others that are 4.5. So obviously the ones that are a bit stronger need a bit more malt. We generally make the beer to about 4%, depending which fruit's going into it, and then we get about 0.5% ABV out of the fruit.
Once it ferments out.
Yeah, once we ferment the fruit out. Yeah, and there you go. So by fermenting the fruit out, you lose a little bit of the sweetness, but it holds up a lot better.
Stabilizes the end product, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So when we're talking about fermenting in this type of style, we've got the malts and everything like that, which create a sugar. And that ferments out, and then you put the sugar, the fructose type of sugar into.
Yeah, so fructose being in fruit is a simple sugar, so we'll ferment straight out.
Yep.
That goes in the towards right at the end of the fermentation.
Yeah.
So the yeast is still nice and active, and then it just gobbles up the fructose at the end, mm-hmm. and then you still get the nice fruit flavour.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
so fantastic.
Sort of the process.
Oh, excellent.
Soured with our house culture.
House culture, straight from the beard.
Yes. So the house culture, we've been running this one, I think, through 5 or 6 beers. So we reclaim it at the end of the souring process.
Yep.
I know nowadays there's a couple of yeast companies that'll make a sour pitch. So it's sort of a 2-in-1 where the yeast and also lactic bacteria in there.
Mm-hmm.
So the beer will sour and then ferment just by pitching it into the fermenter.
Right.
We're still using the more sort of traditional kettle sour process.
Mm-hmm.
So pitch our culture in at about the right temperature, about 38 degrees.
Into our whirlpool?
Into the whirlpool.
Yep.
Let it sour overnight, and it mm-hmm. rips the pH down to about 3.4, 3.5.
Yep.
And then we boil it again to just kill off
all the bits and pieces.
Kills off the bacteria. If it's picked up any wild yeast or anything else, it'll kill that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then run it into the fermenter and treat it as a normal beer once it's in the fermenter.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it seems to be working well.
It
takes
does.
A little bit longer. If you do use this sort of 2-in-1 yeast, you can brew it, put it in the tank as a normal beer, pitch it, and then that's about all.
Yep.
Whereas we hold up the brewery for a night doing it, mm-hmm. or a couple of nights. Most of them are double batches, so it takes 3 days to make them.
Yep.
I know some brewers now have actually set their breweries up with separate kettles and stuff to do sours. Up at Brew Haha, who make a pretty good sour.
Yeah, the rhubarb, strawberry.
I think they've set their brewery up with 3 kettles. So they can make sour beers, leave it, do its thing, and still come in the next day and make a clean beer.
Yep.
So yeah, I think the souring or sours is becoming more and more popular and a lot more common.
Yeah, definitely.
With brewers, so.
Do you find with that dual yeast and bacteria, it's a little less controllable?
I've never actually used it. There's one, a well-known one called Philly Sour.
Mm.
I've heard that you don't get as good a sort of acidity out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, I guess, as sour. You can't taste it as much.
Yep.
But I don't know. I haven't actually used it yet. We've always been doing this more traditional method.
Yeah.
Tried and true for us. So I don't really see any reason to change it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In all your wisdom, blending those two items together, would there be any issues with those types of fermentation management and everything like that?
If the yeast competes with the bacteria, I'm not sure what temperature they pitch it at, because
mm-hmm.
this is 2 different steps. So we're doing the sour at between 35 and 40.
Yep.
But that's far too hot for a fermentation.
Yeah.
Unless you're using a Quebec yeast or something. Yes. Which runs that hot? We won't confuse it with that though. So I don't know if the bacteria works, and then basically goes to sleep once it's done, and then mm-hmm. the yeast takes over.
Yeah.
So you might have to sour it warmer and then chill it down,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the bacteria just works at the fermentation temperature.
Mm.
I'd have to do more research on
that. Very interesting though.
It is. It is quite interesting. But that's because they have it at 2 different temperatures. You wouldn't want to ferment a beer at 35, 40 degrees.
No.
You'd end up with all sorts of nasty flavors in there. Higher alcohols, and I don't think your yeast health would be very good.
No.
So I'd imagine you run it a bit cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as I said, I haven't done it. So I have to reach out to other brewers that use it.
That's fine. At least you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right?
No, that's right.
The old traditional way has been working for how many years?
Yep, that's right. But yeah.
Right. Well, fantastic. Well, thank you for the rundown on that, Matty. Guys, go and grab some of this out in Stockus. We'll be throwing that up shortly.
We should mention too, I've literally just been making our Gab Sour.
Ooh.
So that's a pretty exciting one.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
That's down in the Bright Beer tank, ready to put together over the next couple of days.
I kind of forgot all about that.
Yeah.
We've been so busy.
We have had a lot on. So.
Especially running into some Gabs and other awards where your brewing schedule has increased significantly.
Yeah, I know. You're sort of, with the IBAs or the Indies, you sort of have to shuffle things around to make sure the beers are coming out at the prime time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work from a production point of view.
No, it never does.
And it's sort of,
unless you've got
groups everything up
20 individual small tanks.
Yeah, you're pulling out 6, 7, 8 beers all within a 2 week window.
Yeah.
And then the logistics boys hate me because the quorum's full of kegs.
They really do.
Yeah.
Chris rolls over in his grave when it.
I feel like the sales team give him more grief than the brewers do.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Excellent, excellent. Oh, well, I look forward to that Gabs sour.
Are we allowed to give an teaser as to what it is?
Nah.
Okay. It is a sour.
Yeah.
A very exciting one.
A lolly?
A lollipop.
A lollipop. All right. We'll leave it at that.
To be continued.
To be continued. Continue on. So, yes, go out and grab this at the Stockers. One of the favorites out there. See how good it tastes compared to the last one. I think it's basically exactly the same. You've nailed it. Those fruit profiles are definitely in this one just as much as the last one, and they work perfectly with this style as well. So well done, Matty. Well, cheers to that one.
Cheers,
and
mate.
I think we may have a couple of questions from some viewers, probably all of our... Three viewers, maybe.
I was going to say, it's exciting. We have regular viewers.
How's it going? Have we?
I don't know. How many followers do you think we're up to?
I don't know.
10? Fit double figures?
Probably.
That's exciting.
I'd say double figures for sure. We're not that bad, are we?
No. I like to think we're okay.
I think we're okay. All right, here we go. One of the first questions from Marky Midnight. Why isn't the Mango Mac a regular? Missing it.
Some good hard, question.
Hard punching questions.
It is.
Why, Matty?
A couple of reasons. We like to build up the suspense and hype around it a little bit. So we don't have it available all the time. So it does build that excitement when it comes back out.
Yep.
And the other reason is mangoes are actually really hard to get at the moment. We tried, or we're going to brew it a little while back, and we couldn't actually source the mango. The Australian mango season crop was down 50%.
Yep.
So one of our main suppliers can't actually get the mango, and then there's one other one that has some mango.
Yes.
So we do have it scheduled in for the end of winter.
Yes.
To brew it again.
We do.
But it's really hard to actually source the mango to make the beer, so... Obviously, that's a key ingredient.
Yes, so one of the key ingredients.
That's why it's not a regular. We'd have to work out how we can get a better supply of the mangoes to go into the beer to make a regular
all
beer.
All year round.
Yeah.
So, and we find that kind of also with the different growing seasons, and we've mentioned this before with using natural fruits and everything like that, the profile changes a lot. So we find that it's... the mangoes, we usually get a better product to work with in the actual seasons that they're available in. And in those bridging seasons, certain things seems to change a little bit. And we've had comments that one iteration of the Mango Mac was awesome, and then the next one that comes out probably 4 months later kind of is a little bit different. It's because we're using two different kind of vintages or the growing seasons for the mangoes and things like that. So it's always difficult using natural products.
Well, beer itself is an agricultural product.
Correct.
We're using barley that's seasonal, hops that are seasonal.
Mm.
So even the regular beers will change throughout the year based on the barley crop, the age of the hops, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then when you add fruit into the mix, you're sort of subject to the seasons and the growing seasons and the quality of the fruit and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, with the mangoes being down 50%, obviously there's a lot of contracts that the suppliers have to meet for the bigger guys that make products with mango or whatever the other whatever fruit it may be.
Yep.
And then for us to only use a few hundred kilos a year, we're sort of scraping at the bottom of the mango tree, so to speak, to see what's left. So.
Yes.
It's definitely in the works, but unfortunately, until we get a more regular supply, we can't really make it a consistent product.
Yeah. And also, I mean, with the capacity of our brew house at the moment, fermentation space, everything like that. We try and continually bring out different styles of beers and things like that. So we've got our core range that take up a fair amount of our fermentation space, and then coming in to doing the limited releases, we've only got a small amount of fermentation space down there. So if we were to do the mango kind of all year round, it would take away a lot of the other different styles and limited releases that we are able to produce as well. So we like to kind of just keep things ticking over, nice and fresh, different products, different styles and all those type of bits and pieces. So that's another reason as well, until we get a little bit more fermentation space to open that slot up as well. So that's that one. Hopefully that has answered your question. We have one here, Auld McLean. When will we see a peaches and cream sour?
Oh, I think I'm still scarred from the peach iced tea.
Yeah, I was just thinking, the gentleman must have gotten one of the peach iced teas and loved it.
Yeah, so again, that's another hard one because the peach was quite hard to work with. So
it was terrible, wasn't it?
We did that on a 15 hec batch. I can't imagine what it'd be like trying to make 70 hec of it if I had to do the same thing.
Yeah, nah.
So unless we can find a better option for peach.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if that one will happen.
We'll continue researching that to see
if how they'd like to come in though and peel and cook 1,000 kilos of peaches.
Or hand ladle puree into the fermenters.
Yeah, then we can probably look at it.
But yes, we'll look into that one for you. It'll probably be on the further down the track recipes as once we look into it a little bit more.
Never say never.
We're running at about 110% at the moment. So Maddie will get onto that and do a little bit further research into that and maybe get something out in the near future.
We'll see how we go.
All right. And we got one here from Taylor from Left Field, favorite past Revel employee. Well, it'd have to be Taylor. Tay-Tay.
The
all-famous Tay-Tay.
It's hard. I've had some good employees over
journey. Who'd you pick?
Look, I could probably narrow it down to a top three.
Ooh, top three.
Yep.
All right.
I feel our original chef, Chris, he had definitely left a mark on the company.
Definitely.
Set up the pizza restaurant. Tay-Tay probably has to be up there somewhere.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's the life of the party.
It is a bit sad she's left, to be honest.
I know. She's outgrown the nest.
She's outgrown the nest.
Yes.
Who else have we had? We've got a pretty good retention rate.
Yeah, we do.
Which is not bad.
It's not many that fall off.
Yeah, we have a few young kids that come and do their bit and then flint off again.
What about Geordie?
Geordie, whoa. I don't know if he quite makes the top three.
Is that because he used to wind up?
No, man, no. Geordie's like a little brother.
Yeah, so
I've seen him grow up.
I know.
Fine young man he is.
He pops
today.
Back in every now and again.
He does.
So
comes and tells us what to do. So he's,
yeah, awesome.
He's learned that one well.
Perfect. All right, Tay-Tay, good shout out for that one there, mate. See you on the weekend at the festival. So, all right, guys, thank you very much. We'll continue to send through some requests for some interesting questions. Hit us up on Instagram, let us know, and we will ask or answer them in the next podcast. So cheers, guys. Maddie.
Cheers.
Cheers.